Is it well with your soul? Amen. You know, we tend to find ourselves saying it is well with my soul when things are well, don't we? And you've probably heard me say this, or you may have read it before, but that song was penned by a man named Horatio Spafford, and he had just lost, I believe, three daughters, maybe four daughters, in a shipwreck just a few days before he wrote that song. So the thing with God is it's not just well with our soul when things are well, but when we have Christ, even through the trials, even through the very most difficult things in our life, it can be well with our soul. Isn't that good news, church? Amen. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Going to read just the first couple of lines. We just recited the Lord's Prayer just a few moments ago, and I preached on the entire Lord's Prayer a little over a year ago, I believe. But we're gonna read just a couple of verses here of the prayer that our Savior Jesus taught us to pray, beginning in verse 9. Matthew 6, verse 9. The disciples were asking Jesus how they should pray, and this was his response. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. I say those words every week about this time, Lord. I ask that they would come to life this week. People would understand that we're inviting your presence to speak with power and authority and to have an impact on us. In Jesus' name, amen. Today's sermon is Thy Kingdom Come, the Old King James Version, Thy Kingdom Come, instead of Your Will, Your Kingdom Come, which is the newer translations. But we learned that prayer, many of us as children, that came from the more of the King James Version, Thy Kingdom Come. This idea of kingdom seems to be important. Did you know that the word kingdom appears in the Bible over 300 times, depending on which translation you use and how it's used, but over 300 times in the Bible? God's kingdom, or sometimes it's referred to as the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, depending on which author was writing, how they were referring to it, is referred to 156 times just in the New Testament. Jesus himself refers to the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven 84 times. In direct quotes from Jesus. These are just a few of the things that Jesus said about the kingdom. He says he launched his ministry by saying, repent. We don't like that, do we? We don't like, oh, you mean the kingdom begins with repentance? I mean, to somehow be ushered into this kingdom, to experience this kingdom, Jesus said, repent. He said that he had been sent to preach the good news of the kingdom. He instructed his disciples to preach the kingdom. He said that you must become like a little child, this idea of this innocence, to receive the kingdom. He spoke of it over and over and over in parables. It is like the sower of good seed. It is like a mustard seed. The kingdom is like yeast working its way through the dough. It's like a treasure hidden in a field. It's like a merchant looking for a pearl of great price. He spoke of in a parable that the kingdom was like this net that's cast out in the lake and retrieving good fish and bad fish. And we don't like this part of the parable, but then it says the bad fish were thrown out. The good fish were kept. The owner, the kingdom is that like the owner of the house bringing out treasures, precious treasures. It's like the king wanting to settle accounts with his servants. It's like the landowner hiring workers for his vineyard. And finally, one of the parables that Jesus preached was it's like a king preparing a wedding banquet for his son. Over and over, Jesus spoke of this this thing called kingdom. And this prayer that we pray most every Sunday, our Heavenly Father, Thy kingdom come. How many of us spend our times in our daily life thinking about God's kingdom coming? Don't we just think about surviving, if we're honest? Just surviving our circumstances that we find ourselves in? But Jesus was, when the disciples said, teach us how to pray, it started out with exalting God, this prayer that Jesus taught us, exalting God, and then asking God's kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. How we doing, church? How we doing with that? Are we? I want to ask this question as we begin today. Are we a kingdom church? I'm not suggesting we aren't, and I'm not suggesting we are. I'm asking you to reflect on that. Are we a kingdom church? Is our focus as we come here, as we gather here this morning, that God's kingdom would somehow come? Or do we gather here in self mode of critiquing and wanting to receive and be blessed and you know, stuff where it's kind of about us? Or is that who we are? Or are we a church that says, Thy kingdom come? That's what I want to be as a church. Is that who we are? And what about, let's even go a step further and let's personalize it. Are you a kingdom Christian? I mean, as you see the things that are going on in our church and you see what we're about, is that your focus? It's like, man, like Vacation Bible School, Thy kingdom come in these little guys. Thy kingdom come. Not just let's have fun and let's you know, just entertain and somewhere I can dump my kids off for 3 days. I mean, that's not what God's heart is. That's not what Jesus is imploring us to be about as Christians. Thy kingdom come in these little ones. And I dare say the ones who come to serve the little ones. Thy kingdom come. You know, I was thinking about this Lord's Prayer, and I was thinking about how we might. I had it written out, but I don't want to put words in anyone else's mind. But you think about that Lord's Prayer, and it's so God focused in His will and His kingdom. And forgiving others, and there's this selflessness to that prayer. The only thing it really speaks of for us is just meet my daily needs so that I have the strength to serve you. That's basically what I'm seeing in there. Give us this day our daily bread so that I have the strength to proclaim your name. So there's this selflessness to God's kingdom. We are instructed to pray for God's kingdom to come, His reign. And this idea of kingdom is really this idea of reign, His reign. Let God reign on this earth. Let Him reign in us. Let Him reign on everyone. This reign to come on earth as it is in heaven. This reign, this kingdom to come in my nation as it is in heaven. In my community as it is in heaven. In Wiley Methodist, as it is in heaven, in my family, as it is in heaven, and in my heart as it is in heaven. Is that who we are, church? That's who Christ is telling us to try and pray to ask God to achieve that in us. His kingdom come. You know, I think the best example, Christ is always our best example, but this idea of God's will and God's kingdom coming at the very night before he was to hang on a cross for you and I, he finds himself in the garden, he finds himself praying, and then this was his prayer: Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. You see, that was his prayer of the flesh, his fears and his apprehension about what awaited him. I don't want to. He knew what he was getting ready to face, and everything in him was saying, I don't want to do that. But then in the very same breath, the very same prayer, not my will but yours be done, thy kingdom come. Is that who we are? That's our example. I want you to, we've done this before, but it's been a while. I want you to do with me. I want you to take a deep breath. Hold it. Now let it out. Do it again. Deep breath. Now let it out. That exercise is the essence of what I believe who we are to be as Christians. We breathe in worship and study and fellowship and community with one another, so that we can breathe out love and discipleship to a hurting world. Kingdom. You see, what we're doing in here, what happens in these walls, should be strengthening us and equipping us and empowering us to go out and be about kingdom. It's not what's happening in here. That's not the end. That's just what empowers us to go out and be about the kingdom. To worship, to breathe in is to worship and study and fellowship and community with one another, so that we can breathe out love and discipleship on a hurting world. That, my friends in Christ, is called kingdom. Now I want to ask it again. Are we a kingdom church? Are we kingdom Christians? You see, the kingdom really is out there. It's not in here. This is a place to be equipped for kingdom. This is not the kingdom in here. And I've asked you this before, but I want to ask it again, to make a mental list in your head of everyone you know that needs Christ. You know who they are. They're flashing in your mind right now. Now I want you to take a red marker in your mind, and I want you to cross through the ones that don't deserve it. That'll save us time, won't it? You know, if 50 people came to mind and we can cross off 10, well, that makes us more efficient, doesn't it? No, it says in God's Word, it says probably the most famous scripture that we know is, for God so loved some? The world. Jesus took those nails for all people. Now, I ask you again, which ones do we cross off to save ourselves time? Which ones do we not have room for in here to share Christ with? I love this, and I was drawn back to this passage this week. Christ speaking to Peter. Now the disciples are gathered, and Jesus asked the disciples the question, who does everybody say that I am? And they ran through this list. Some say that you're Isaiah, and some say you're this and you're that, and they're running through this list of what the people say. And then Jesus turned it on them, and he said, who do you say that I am? And this was Simon Peter's answer. He said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you, Peter, that on this rock I will build my church. What's the rock? Jesus is Christ. And the gates of Hades will not overcome it. And listen to this. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. That's the keys. He's already given it to him. I am the Christ, is what Jesus said. That's the keys to the kingdom of heaven. We have a hurting world that needs Jesus, church. And they're not all sitting with us today. They're not all sitting with us today. Are we a kingdom church? Are we kingdom Christians? Are we self-serving? Again, not accusations. I want us to reflect on this. How does God's kingdom come? I mean, hopefully you have an idea about this idea of kingdom. You know, the prayer, God's prayer, the Lord's prayer does not say, our Father who art in heaven, Wiley Methodist, come. Does it say that? It doesn't say, and I know this is getting on dangerous territory, but I'm just going to go with it. God is my defender. It doesn't say, the United Methodist Church come. It doesn't say, Jeff's will come. Our Father who art in heaven, my will be done. It doesn't say that. Thy kingdom come. God's kingdom. And I, as I think about this idea of kingdom, it becomes so clear to me that for God's kingdom to advance on earth, His will must be done in the church. And for God's will to be done in the church, His will must be done in me and in you. Are you crying out to God to God? I'm just being honest with you with the busyness of my dad's illness and sometimes you probably, I don't know if you realize this or not, but Cheryl, if you can ask Cheryl, I'm human. you may not realize that. Cheryl can fill you in. I'm human, and I get tired sometimes, and I've been. Here lately with my father trying to see about my mom and dad and through his illness and all of those kinds of things, you know, sometimes you just get tired and we're going to IHOP, a few of us, and I think there's still some room for some, Billy, if you, the International House of Prayer in Kansas City, we're going in about a week and a half, and my soul is yearning for time of replenishment with God. I need Him to pour Himself into me because I'm tired. I'm tired. For His kingdom to come, it must happen in us. And so there's this relationship that's going on in us, that's this kingdom relationship. And what flows out of that relationship is how we respond, what we do. So many, there's in our world, there's so much emphasis, and it's rightly so, but there's so much emphasis these days on what they call the social gospel, going out and loving your neighbor, doing things for other people. And we do that, I believe, at our church. But if that's all we're doing is building houses, if that's it, if all we're doing is feeding the hungry and we don't offer them Christ, goodness gracious, church, that's not kingdom. I mean, we express the love of Christ through giving food and through the things that how we serve one another. But that's flowing out of this relationship that we have with the King of Kings. And if all we're about is doing those things, then we're a resounding gong. We're a clanging cymbal. We make noise and that's it. But we have this relationship that where Christ Himself comes in our heart and he softens us, and He says that He takes a heart of stone and He creates a heart of flesh, this soft and tender heart. And that's one of the things that I'm asking God, give me back tears. You know, you get so busy problem solving that sometimes it's hard. I want to weep. You know, I want God to keep my heart tender for His people. This relationship that flows out of Him, and I just want to. I think we do that really well, church. I really do. I tell people that all the time. I probably have to be careful to not move into boasting, but I tell people all the time what a great church that I have the privilege of being the pastor for. But I just want to mention some of the things that we do that is part of this kingdom come. This idea of reaching outside of our walls, His hands, where we build houses and we repair houses and do those sort of things. And many of you are involved in that. And we built Granny's house, and you, most of you know about that. We built this little 90-whatever-year-old lady that needed a home. We built her a home about 8 years ago. And the Lake Stanford flooded about 6 years ago. There were some people out there, a man had cancer and couldn't really repair his home, and we came. I'll never forget that first day we came to Lake Stanford, and some of y'all were there, and we came just swooping down on this house of this man and this woman who the water got up to the top of their ceiling in their home, and it just washed everything out of there, and there was just a shell left. And we came swooping down on all these vans and Suburbans, and everything came swooping in on them, and literally, I don't know how many there were there, but 50 to 75 people came swooping down that first Saturday. And I remember the looks on these people's faces. They were blown away by the love of Christ through us. And in Vacation Bible School that we're getting ready to start this evening, and to see lives impacted through our Vacation Bible School ministry and our food pantry that many of you serve in and help people who need a hand. And our relationship with the Carver neighborhood, there's nothing that binds us together with that neighborhood except Christ. It's primarily a minority neighborhood, and we're not. It's a Baptist church, we're not. They're lower income folks, we generally are not. And yet we have this wonderful and loving relationship with them, and they've learned that we love them because of Christ. It's Christ's kingdom flowing out of us. St. John's, we try to pray weekly with our staff, with their staff. And any of y'all are welcome to come do that with us. Once a week we try to pray with them. And we've, in our hearts, God has knit our hearts together. And it's a wonderful thing. And I don't, most of you probably are not aware of this. This went through the committees a few years ago. But I went over there Pastor Hood and I swapped pulpits a few years ago. And I went over there and I was preaching for their church, and they passed the offering plate. And I wasn't thinking. Cheryl always puts our check in the plate here. And so I wasn't thinking about it. I thought, oh, I probably should put something in the plate. So I pulled a 20 out and I put it in the plate, and they passed it around, and they announced their offering at the end of the service. And at the end of the service, they announced, and they praised God, they had collected $41 and some change that week. And I got to thinking, 20 of that was mine. How the heck do they keep their doors open? $20 in a week. I mean, how do they do anything? And I asked Pastor Hood later, I said, Pastor, how do y'all pay your bills? I'm not trying to be nosy, but how do you pay your bills? How do you do ministry? How do you get any kind of compensation? He goes, oh, I don't get any. I'm a volunteer. And so God stirred my heart, and I came back and talked to committees, and we put in our budget $500 a month to support St. John's Baptist Church. That's not a lot. But you see, because it's not about Wiley Methodist Church and it's not about St. John's Baptist Church. It's about God's kingdom, about His kingdom coming. And I was so blessed because I brought that idea back to our finance committee, and I'm thinking, man, this may not fly because this doesn't benefit us in the least. And unanimously was embraced. Unanimously embraced. And through our church council. And this was several years ago. So we've been doing that for several years. We have prison outreach. We have love and care outreach. We have missions. Our youth just got back from going and loving on people in Missouri. We have care. So many families that are struggling that need help with bills and food and things like that. And we spend thousands and thousands of dollars a year and just in care. And I announced in April, and just an update, Russell's house that we're going to be building. I know we kind of, in this timing deal, I know we've lost some momentum there, but Russell's house has not gone away. We've been finishing up the last house in the Carver neighborhood, which we did a couple of weeks ago, and looking for a lot, which we're getting closer to having that done, and we will be announcing more on Russell's house. But this man lives in a van, has for 2 years. And I want you, this week, when it hits about 102, I want you to step out in the front yard and think about living, or just park your car out in the street and just go sit in it with no air conditioner for an hour. He does it every day. We're going to build Russell a house. Now, I know there's different opinions like, well, why are we doing that? Or why? It's kingdom. Thy will be done. Kingdom come, God. May your kingdom come. And I've been approached to approach our church. This more of this will be coming, but many of you know cheerleader Ryan Goodwin. Ryan's been with us since his sophomore year in high school. Ryan's probably 25 now. Ryan has just taken on, he's been called into the ministry. He's just taken on Tuscola United Methodist down south of us. And I've been asked to come alongside Ryan and help him as he gets more acclimated to being a pastor. And I've also been asked, and this is an honor, such an honor for our church, I've been asked, would our church come alongside Tuscola United Methodist? Because we're seen as from the district and from the conference, they look at us and they say, we're one of two churches in our Abilene district, which encompasses about 50 some odd churches. They said, us and one other church, like, that's the snapshot of a healthy church. We can, everybody get their hand and kind of do that. But I don't care how much we have done and how healthy the others may think that we are, we've never completely tapped who God has called us to be. We should always be seeking and yearning to be more and to be more of who Christ has called us to be. But they've asked us to come alongside Tuscola United Methodist and to help them to get healthy and to begin to get healthy and grow. That doesn't benefit us at all, does it? And it's going to involve some people that maybe feel called, and we may lose some folks at least for a year or so to go down there and to help them. And my district superintendent asked me, and I didn't even hesitate. I said, absolutely. Absolutely. Because it's about God's kingdom. It's not about Wiley Methodist Church. Thy kingdom come. Are we a kingdom church? When I speak of these things like Russell's House and Tuscola United Methodist and St. John's, does joy well up in you? Or does apprehension and maybe some anger, if we're honest? Some anger, like, we don't need to be doing that. Is that what wells up in you? John Harper is a man that you probably never heard of. He was a pastor, and he was a widow, and he and his 6-year-old daughter were passengers on the Titanic. I'm a history buff. I love history, and April was the 100-year anniversary of the sinking of the Titanic, and I've been watching specials and reading and doing some things. I just love that kind of stuff. But John Harper was on this. He was 39 years old. He was a pastor. He was on his way across the Atlantic to preach a revival, and he was with his 6-year-old daughter and a niece. And he managed to get his daughter and niece on a lifeboat, and he stayed behind. And there were many witnesses in the hearings that followed the sinking of the Titanic that said that John Harper could be heard until he went underwater sharing Christ. And specifically, Acts 16:31, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. And he's proclaiming that as he goes under. That's kingdom. You know, he could have very easily said, well, this isn't my business. I was going to New York to preach a revival, and I just didn't make it. But he understood that those people that were sinking, that were without Christ, needed Christ right then. Thy kingdom come right now. And he preached Christ till he could preach no more. Is that our heart, church? Let's pray. Father, I thank you that I know so many right now, here this morning, get it. They get it. They understand your kingdom. They understand that you didn't come just to purchase their ticket to heaven, but you came to set the captives free. You came for all people. That your name and your gospel would be proclaimed to the whole world. I thank you for the privilege of being a part of that, the privilege of being your ambassador to a hurting world. Give us that kind of heart, God. If we don't have it, give it to us and show us how you would have us to be kingdom makers, to be a kingdom church and to be kingdom disciples. And Father, we confess that even if we think we do pretty well at that, that we fall short of your standard. We ask you to convict us and to empower us to be your hands and feet. And may your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand if you're able for as we close this morning.
Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Let your spirit reign inside of me. Let your holy fire be a light in me. never-ending plan for all to see. For I have nothing without you, and I am nothing without you. You fill me up, supply my every need. You're my Redeemer, you're my Sustainer, my Rock, my Father, Creator. God changed the world through me. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Let your spirit reign inside of me.
The reason we don't have the words to that song up this morning is the Lord just gave that to Clay this morning. You think he's trying to tell us something? Not Clay, God. Be blessed. May his kingdom come in us, and may it overflow onto a hurting world. Go and tell someone in Jesus' name. We're dismissed.
Let your holy fire be a light in me, never ending flame for all to see. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Let your spirit reign inside of me.